All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to lecture 65 in this American history program of History at Our House for the elementary class. Today is our last lecture of new material for the upcoming Test 4. So, as I warned you yesterday, we have a little bit more stuff to cover before we can complete this unit of our studies. And it's very important that we do complete it before we move on. We have so many amazing and exciting stories to learn in American history. And we really have got to get into the rest of it here. So, without in any way wanting to shortchange the Founding Fathers, we've got to finish with the founding era and make sure we understand as well as possible why we can say in so many different ways there could be no United States of America without the Founding Fathers. And we can say that about the Declaration of Independence. We can say that about the Revolutionary War. We can say that about the Constitution, bringing the country together with a capital U for the first time. And we can say that about the Founding Fathers as presidents. So boy, did they ever do a lot for us. So let's find out more about that today. Let's finish up with the founding era. Let's see what the Founding Fathers did as presidents following, well, we already know, George Washington and John Adams. So now our goal is to continue from there. And let me just take you to the class webpage briefly to point out that if you go to your class webpages now or immediately after class, which is probably the best bet, go and click on this and print it off, whether it's lower L or upper L, and get to work. Because I'm sure you've already read this and you're raring to go, and you know most of the answers already to these questions. So go ahead and get those class notes out on your desk with mom and dad and start writing out your full sentence answers where appropriate to these questions. Okay, so now I'm going to take you through the rest of the founding era here. And I'm going to use the lower elementary class notes as a prompt. Something for us. Ooh, remind me later, please. I got distracted by a system message there, sorry. So, we already have, as I said, George Washington. Something, Abby had a technical problem. We already had George Washington, who was the first president, and who advised Americans that the great rule of conduct for the United States should be to have with other nations as little political connection as possible. So another good vocabulary word for that would be to, Abby, mute yourself, to minimize political connections with the rest of the world. Right? To minimize. Make them as small as possible. That's what it means, to as little political connection as possible. As small as possible, and we'll return to that because Americans don't follow George Washington's advice anymore. So we'll have to look at what we think that about that as we proceed with American history. And now we'll see, however, that the rest of the Founding Fathers all agreed with George Washington. That the whole story of the founding era is about the Founding Fathers basically saying to George Washington, yes, we agree. We are on your side. They disagreed about lots of stuff. Some of the Founding Fathers were big fans of France. Some of the Founding Fathers were big fans of England. They disagreed about things, right? Some of them were Federalists. And who are those characters again who argued against the Constitution? Right? The Founding Fathers weren't all of exactly the same mind. We have Federalists, and then on their opponents were called, Abby?
Anti-federalists.
Anti-federalists, right? So they didn't agree all the time. In fact, they got in pretty big arguments over a lot of things. One of the things you're going to have to tell me about in test preparation sheets is, remember that there were a lot of reasons why the founders would not have formed a single country. Why they would have said, we're just going to stay in separate states. And some of them would have said that... Well, we've had slavery forever, like everybody else in the world. Why should we get rid of it? And then some of the others would say, what are you talking about? We're a country of individual rights. We have to change this. We have to get rid of slavery. So that was a big argument, and we'll come back to that after the test. And so, yeah, they certainly did not agree about everything. But there was something that all of these founding fathers as presidents agreed upon. They all agreed that the United States needed to be independent. Back to that keyword. Once again, what does independence mean? Jeremy, I want you to tell me something that you do independently. Oops, I'm sorry.
Walk.
You walk independently. Perfect. Patrick, tell me another thing that you... Tell me something you do independently.
I pour my cereal.
Okay, you serve yourself breakfast. Okay? Somebody else, tell me something that you do independently. Nemo, how about you? Tell me something you know how to do independently.
I make my own food sometimes.
Okay, you know how to cook some of your food or prepare some of your food, okay? All right, so now tell me something that you don't know how to do independently. Tell me something that you wouldn't be able to do unless there was somebody else to do it for you. Wyatt or Henry?
This is Wyatt.
Go ahead, sir.
To buy myself a house.
Yeah, you couldn't buy yourself a house. Why not, Wyatt?
Well, I don't have a lot of money. I couldn't.
Yeah, you...
And I can't go to the bank and buy myself a loan.
Right, okay. You don't have the ability to earn enough money to take care of yourself. You still rely on your parents for money, okay? And Jennifer, what's another thing that you rely on others for?
To buy a car, I need a driver's license.
Okay, well, you're not quite there yet, right? But you're going to have to wait all the way until there, until others... Okay, I was sure somebody meant to say, I need a teacher to help me learn history, too. Yeah, right, so that you can't quite do independently, can you? So, yeah, there's a lot of things that you can't do independently. So what's the difference? What's the difference between being dependent and being independent? What's the essence here? Rosetta.
Dependence, you do it by yourself.
You mean independent?
Independent
means doing it yourself, right? Standing on your own two feet. Being your own person in the world. Okay, that goes for countries too. So if the United States was going to be its own country, that was the question that they were asking. What does it take to be a country in this world? Now, why was it especially hard for them to answer that question? Put your hand down for the moment, Abby. What was especially hard for the United States in the world to say, why was it so crucial for them to say, we really need to be independent? I mean, any country wants to be independent, but why does the United States have to be independent more than any other country? Why is it even more important for us? What do you think? Do you think it's true that they needed it even more than anybody else? Or does everybody pretty much need it equally? Interesting question. Abby, what do you think?
I think maybe because they had an idea that almost nobody else agreed with.
Okay, and your dog agrees. So, yes, they had an idea that nobody else understood or agreed with. They had the idea that a government is supposed to protect people's rights. And the world was full of people and governments that didn't understand that. So, talk about the definition. This is the definition of independence. The United States in the world. One country, the only one, standing up for an idea that nobody else agrees with. Wow. Did they need to be independent? They had to be mega independent just to have that idea. And then they had to be super duper independent to keep going with it. Absolutely. We're not talking about getting a driver's license. That's nice. Making a country of individual rights, boy, do you need to be independent. That's for sure. So, yeah, they really understood that America was special. And if they were going to keep it special, if they're going to protect people's rights, boy, did they need to be independent. And that meant that they should not get entangled in other people's business. No worse way to stop being independent, to stand on your own, than to have to do things that have nothing to do with you and get involved in other people's wars and have them get angry with you and force them to do you to do things and so on. So to stay out of other people's wars meant to be, what was the word that then George Washington would use when it comes to staying out of other people's wars? What's the word for that? Being. This is a word. Staying out of other people's wars. Sigourney, please.
Neutral.
Neutral. Right. Being neutral. So that's why Washington issued the Proclamation of Neutrality. Okay, and then he passed on that lesson to the other founders. All right, so it's one thing to be neutral. Tell me, in a word, what's another thing that you need to be if you live in a world of countries that are mean and that don't want, I wish I could highlight that better, that don't want to respect your individual rights? What's another thing that you need to be? That John Adams really is probably the best symbol of for this particular chapter. I'll give you a hint. It has something to do with the Navy. Walker, what's the other thing?
Yes, it is. You need a really strong army and navy, or else people will take you over.
Give me one word. What do you need to be?
Strong.
Strong. Exactly. Okay, good. So, George Washington's great lesson to America is we should stay neutral. John Adams is saying, yes, you're right, George Washington. But even if you're neutral, does that mean countries like France are going to treat you with respect? Does that mean some emperor like Napoleon is going to say, oh, well, you're neutral, so I'll be fine with that. I'll just be very nice to you because you're America and you're neutral. Of course not, right? So then you got to be strong because you got to be able to stand up to emperors like Napoleon and others. Okay, neutral and strong. Let's keep going here. Let's see. I don't know if you had a chance to read about Thomas Jefferson. And, well, he shows us two things about the story of the founders and the importance of being independent. So the first one, as you probably read in your notes, is called the Barbary War. So there were pirates. Nowadays we always think of pirates as being characters that speak funny. But you know, the pirates is a serious thing. And in this case, they were pirates from Northern Africa that were attacking American ships. And there were these small countries in northern Africa called the Barbary States, and they were attacking American ships and capturing Americans and enslaving them. And so, which one of these two did America need now? Neutrality or strength? Not exactly the hardest question, right? But Rosetta, go ahead.
Strength.
Yeah, it didn't matter if you were neutral. Pirates don't care. They attack your ships and take your stuff. And so, yeah, Thomas Jefferson had to be brave and say, all right, we have a navy. We're going to send it over there and fight and protect Americans, which is what he did in what's known as the Barbary War. And so that was an important step. And then he did something else as president that was really important to the United States. And you know, I'm just going to quickly go ahead and bring this up here on Wikipedia because I missed the opportunity to do it. So I'm going to go ahead and bring it up. Yeah, it's interesting when you put keywords in, what else comes up. But anyway, so we have this thing here that we're going to see called the Louisiana Purchase. Hey, why does a flag look like that? That look like the American flag to you? I think these guys on Wikipedia got it wrong. Why is that the American flag? Patrick?
That is the American flag.
Not now. No, it isn't. These are the 13 bars for the 13 colonies, but how come there aren't 50 stars? Let's see if Allison wants to tell me that. Allison, why aren't there 50 stars?
She doesn't want to answer.
She doesn't want to, and Walker wants to. Okay.
Well, there's more states now, and for every star, there's a state.
There you go. So back then, when Thomas Jefferson was the president, there were only this many states. Somebody can count them for me and chat it to us. I can't remember the number. Okay, so anyway, what I wanted to show you here was this. This is a pretty cool map. So at this time, I lost track of the flag there, right? But this green thing here overlaid on the map of the United States is what's known as the Louisiana Purchase. Now, the United States at the time when Thomas Jefferson became the president was this thing over here where to the east of this squiggly funny line here. Why couldn't they draw a straight line over there? Were they just bad at making maps? How come there was a squiggly line here and over here was the United States and over here wasn't? Nemo?
The Mississippi River.
The Mississippi River, right. The Treaty of Paris said that this is the line. Over here is America. Over here isn't. And for a long time, this belonged to, well, a country that the original country that had found America, Spain. But then, France, Napoleon, who was a big bully in Europe, forced Spain to give it to him. So now, here's America, and here's France, all of a sudden. Now, John Adams just went through being president and having a lot of headaches with France, and that's France across the ocean. What was life going to be like with France on the other side of a river? With the only distance between Americans and the Emperor Napoleon, the only thing dividing them was a line on a map. How much fun was that going to be for people who wanted to be independent, to protect their rights, and there's an emperor on the other side of the river? What are your thoughts? Would you feel comfortable with an empire across the river from you? Sound good to you? It's a pretty simple yes or no, right? No. So again, Thomas Jefferson had a problem. Like each of the presidents, each of them had special problems to deal with. Thomas Jefferson's problems were the Barbary pirates and mainly Napoleon, who was a big bully. And he said, well, if we're going to be independent, we can't have France over here. This can't be France. Because all that's going to happen is we're going to end up in arguments, and especially if, remember, what were rivers back then? Why did they bother even to use rivers on the map, for instance? What was so interesting about rivers? I mean, even today, they're pretty cool in that way. They're not nearly as important as they once were. But back in those pre-industrial days, what was the big deal about rivers, Abby?
They could be transportation.
Yeah, they could be. They were the most important. They were the highways of the pre-industrial world. If you wanted to go somewhere on land, you didn't want to go by land. There weren't any roads. I mean, and especially in wildernesses, but even in most parts of America, there might be just a couple roads here and there. So, I mean, there weren't any highways. If you wanted to go long distances, you went on rivers. So over here, you got Napoleon, and he wants to get on this river because he wants to go down here. And over here, you've got Americans, and they want to go on this river and go down here. Yeah, maybe now you can see the problem. This is a big river, very important. Who gets to use it? Who gets to use it as their highway? Is it a French highway or an American highway? Patrick?
I think it's both.
It's both is a good answer. But does that sound like a good arrangement? To have an empire using the highway with the rest of with the people from your country that you want to protect? No, right? So, this was the big problem. And Thomas Jefferson said, there's no way that I, as the president, can allow the Empire of France to be the neighbor of the United States. That would just destroy the whole point of what we have tried to build. So he went. He sent an ambassador to Napoleon, and he said to Napoleon, listen, if you insist on keeping that, I'm going to become allies of Great Britain, and we will be enemies from now on. And Napoleon said, well, I don't really want that. Plus, I got my hands full over here with these other Europeans. Okay, I'll sell you Louisiana. I think the price was $15 million. Which is a pretty amazing price. Never mind, we don't use money the same way anymore. Patrick, you have a question.
I just wanted to say it would be like war on a river.
Yeah, right. That's it. The river would be this border between two people that are not two countries, two peoples that couldn't live side by side in peace. And that would have been the source of wars. And that's exactly what Thomas Jefferson said to Napoleon. He said, this is going to lead to war. Is that what you want? Because if it is, then America will be on the same side as Britain. And dear Napoleon, you're already having enough trouble. So why don't you sell us Louisiana? And he did. So the United States expanded. This made the United States about twice the size of what it was before. This over here, it didn't have yet, right? So we still have this other third over here to talk about later on. But this is basically about doubled the size of the United States. All right, so we've got Thomas Jefferson and the important things that he did for American independence. And then we get to James Madison. Now, didn't we see James Madison before? Now, we know Thomas Jefferson, he wrote the Declaration of Independence, and then he goes and becomes president. What about James Madison? Didn't he do something, that name ring a bell? Did he do anything for America before being president? Or is that it? I hope we can remember him for this. Rosetta?
Didn't he make Congress?
Well, yes, but in what sense? What was the document that formed the Congress in its ultimate form?
The Bill of Rights?
That came after. Which he also is the father of. But before that, the Bill of Rights is in addition to... What's that other document?
The
All right, Sigourney, help out here.
The Constitution.
The Constitution, right. James Madison is the father of the Constitution and of the Bill of Rights. So you can bet that here we have somebody who is thinking about rights. Here we have somebody who is thinking about independence. Right, he was a Federalist. He believed that the only way that the United States could be independent is if it was united, and if it was strong. And, well, when we get to 1809 and so on, when he becomes president, well, the United States is starting to have a new problem with the biggest bully in the world. And it's not Napoleon. And Patrick is looking at me asking, who? You forgot from your notes from yesterday. Who was the biggest bully in the world? The most powerful country in the world. Abby?
Great Britain.
Great Britain. Yes, exactly. Now, Great Britain was, in some ways, a wonderful place and a great country, and it might seem mean to say that Britain was a bully, but we know that the British didn't want Americans to be independent or have their rights. And not only this, at the time of James Madison being president, they were fighting a war against France, and they were really acting like bullies, the British. The British needed their navy to be as strong as possible. They kind of, you know, that was the same idea that America was thinking of. But they said, we need more sailors. And so anybody who's British, we can take them and force them to be in our navy. So this is kind of slavery. And they said, and by the way, anybody that is British and pretends to be American, we're going to get them too. And we're gonna turn them into slaves in the British Navy. Because we need a strong Navy to fight Napoleon. And so this was called impressments. Which is a funny sounding word, isn't it? Impressment. Kind of sounds like what? To be... Jeremy? To be impressed, right? It sounds like, oh, that sounds nice. But it's not to be impressed. It was to be pressed into service. Now, that sounds better. It's kind of like being pushed. Like being in a press. Do you guys know what a press is? Like a printing press? What happens when you... What do you do with a press? Like for grapes to make wine. What happens to the grapes in a press? Abby?
They get squashed,
exactly. So that's what it meant to be pressed into service. You got squashed into a little hole in a British ship and had to fire the cannon for the commander. So, yeah, this was no good at all. And President Madison could not get Britain to stop doing this. So he declared war on Britain. It's called the War of 1812. And he did his best to show that America would stand up to even the biggest bully in the world. No matter how powerful you were, the United States was not going to put up with attacks against its citizens. Now, this had a high cost. Because when you fight the strongest country in the world, you're not going to win. And this was different than the American Revolution. The British were not interested in trying to gain control of America anymore. They were just interested in fighting a war. So they could do that differently. Right? So they could sail their navy to the new capital of the United States. And they didn't care about taking control. They just destroyed it with cannons. And then they went to the next city of Baltimore, and they were going to do the same thing, but it was protected. And there was a terrible gunfight, a terrible cannon battle in Baltimore. And there was an American watching this from a ship, And he was so inspired by the battle that he wrote the American Anthem, a poem that became the American National Anthem. So this is a cool extra project that you can do in your own kind of homeschooling efforts, is you can print off, you know, a copy of the Star Spangled Banner and read it and understand what's going on here. Think back to the war. Think back to ships, British ships, bombarding the fort, Fort McHenry, and the American flag there, standing. And the man is seeing it. He's seeing the bombs bursting in air, which you will hear, you'll see in the anthem, right? You might know the words. And then in the morning, he looks out, and he sees the fort, and again, he sees the flag. And he was so inspired that he wrote a poem about it, and it eventually became the national anthem. So America was able to withstand British power in the War of 1812, but it was really, really terrible. So finally we get to James Madison, the youngest of the founding fathers, and the last of the founding fathers to be president. James Monroe. I misspoke. Finally, we get to James Monroe, the youngest of the founding fathers. He was a young officer in the army, and he fought in the Battle of Trenton. He was there. In fact, I like to think sometimes that James Monroe is the young man who's carrying the flag here. I think I'm going to, just for fun, go back to our painting and remind you of the painting, because there we are. So here's our Washington crossing the Delaware here. And I think that this is James Monroe. I think the artist did this. I think the artist on purpose painted James Monroe. And I'll show you a painting of James Monroe really briefly, and then you can decide for yourself whether or not you think Mr. Powell is just being romantic or silly, or maybe it was James Monroe when he was a young man. Look at that. Look at that interesting face. He's got kind of a long, straight nose, doesn't he? That's him older. What do you think? Could that be a young James Monroe? The chin, maybe. I don't know. It's a little iffy, but yeah, it sure could be, couldn't it? So he was there at the battle, so he was a young president. He followed these other presidents and paid very close attention to what they said, he agreed that the most important thing for America was not to get involved in European wars. So he issued a kind of proclamation again, a statement that said what America's rule of conduct was going to be from now on. And that statement is called the Monroe Doctrine. So make sure, as the last thing that you do, that you read this basic explanation of the Monroe Doctrine. And that it basically said that Europeans should stay out of America and Americans would stay out of Europe. So he was just basically putting George Washington's plan into action. No connection. Minimize the connection. And that's it. So we're going to see, when we return, how important this was. But these are the founding fathers, and this is what was most important to them, to keep America independent. All right. Well, good. I'm glad we got to that. It's a lot to take in, but you get the basic idea here. And the founding era is when the founding fathers were the presidents, and that their main priority was to keep America independent. So you can read the notes and think about how they did that. And so you got the test prep sheets. Everything is ready to go. It's in your hands. You got 2 good days of work ahead of you. So good luck. And we'll talk to you tomorrow in History Through Art. Bye for now.
Bye.
Goodbye.